Well, apparently that is the end of that. That was Bill Hennis. You heard him from way back when. Bobby Klein, are you still around? Bobby Klein is gone. Golly, gee whiz. Rusty Rogers on WKLO AM during the Days of Future Past reunion type situation. We got to do a little bit of music for you now, right now. If I can get my big old mama, big fat mouth, I'll get it down to see that some of that stuff is what it was. Ready, a fine girl at 1080. KLO.
There's a port on a western bay, and it serves 100 ships a day.
Brandy, you're a fine girl.
What a
wife you would be. Such a fine
girl. 1080 WKLO, Rusty Rogers, the real Rusty Rogers, back in swing and doing some fun things.
Okay, let's all sing the Quincy Duck theme song.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Q-U-I-N-C-Y-E.
W-K-L-O.
Rusty Rogers, it's 5:12 and Lowell's 1080-KLO.
About the seventh son in the whole round world, there is only one, and I'm the one called the seventh son.
W-K-L-O.
Detroit Wheels, good God, and Miss Money, Rusty Rogers, along with Bobby Klein on
Bobby Klein, would you knock that crap off?
Sir Robert Klein, Esquire.
Oh, yeah? All right, yeah, the guy is picking out on a hamburger here.
Mind if I eat?
Mind if you mind? I don't care. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of strange, man. I'm doing this stuff back on the radio again. It's really
true.
Interesting. You say we have a special guest on one of these lines? What do I do?
Right,
here?
On line five. Sorry, line five, Shirley Smith.
This is the same crap I went through this with this guy before, only now I'm doing it again.
Shirley Smith on line five, Rusty.
Shirley Smith.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
This is Rusty Rogers.
Oh, hi, Rusty.
Hi, Shirley.
It's been a while.
It has been.
Hey, Shirley, this is Squirrely.
Oh, no.
Yeah, really.
You remember the song? We
yes.
may be playing that thing later. How
oh,
you
no.
doing?
I'm doing fine.
You're at United Press International
yeah.
in Washington, D.C.
That's right.
I knew that beforehand because I used to listen to public radio in other places, and I used to hear your name. This is Shirley Smith in Washington. So what are you doing?
And also
well,
went to
I'm
Mutual News.
I'm sorry?
You also went...
I'm doing that.
Yeah? Are you pregnant yet?
No, but I have a six-year-old.
You do?
So I have
Is
been.
It legitimate?
Yes.
Well, that's congratulations.
Wonderful.
Congratulations. News, see, I work with a bunch of television news folks now, so... I know you guys lie and make all that stuff up anyway.
Same old Rusty.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Same old Rusty, Shirley.
I know it.
When I did radio news, I made it up.
Ah.
You know, it's tabloid news.
Well,
all
you know, don't
around.
You think I should make up something better than what we've had then?
Yeah.
My creativity must be lacking.
Let's see here. We have a thing.
Yeah, she thought up Saddam Hussein, okay?
So?
Well, you thought of Quincy. Yeah, that's just about as bad.
Hey, look, you know, hey, when I first got into this into this thing, man, people were telling me you needed a gimmick, and one of the first things they told me to tell me about you, Bob, was...
What an ugly animal.
So, I mean, you know, you're still there. I mean, you're still an ugly animal, but somebody said you need a gimmick, so I got,
I got
the duck.
Papa, too.
Oh, you still have the duck.
Oh, yeah, we still got the duck.
Yes, he still got the duck.
As a matter of fact, the duck sings and does all kinds of fun things. But how about... Tell us about your career and what you've been up to, Shirley.
Well, let's see. I moved up here, I guess it's about 9 years ago. Somewhere around there. 9 or 10.
See, yeah, those people always somewhere. Lose their mind first.
Yes,
it's
they
the
do.
First thing that goes. Let's see. What day is it? Yeah, okay.
Hell, brain cells checking out.
Yeah. I heard you on Mutual a long time ago.
I was there for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Did a brief stint as a speechwriter for the government.
For which government? Which one? Republican, Democratic, or what?
EPA.
Okay.
Environmental Protection Agency.
Okay.
And then went to UPI.
Yeah?
Can't get this out of your blood.
I know. It sort of sticks there.
It really does.
It grows with you. Let's see. Who are some of the other guys that you work with at UPI? I'm trying to... Walter Rogers? Is that right?
No.
Is he no longer there?
No. Well, it's slimmed down a little bit lately.
Yeah.
I'd like to know where everybody else is.
Well, Lee Gray is in Houston.
Lee Gray is in Houston.
Okay.
Name some other people. I probably know where they are.
Does anyone know where Dave White is?
Dave White's in Lexington.
He's in Lexington still. He was working TV as a TV news director. He quit that, went to work for Radio Shack, quit that, and now he's working in television again in a different aspect, I think promotions.
Oh, wonderful.
So he's getting, you know, we've called him, but he won't return our phone calls. You know, we've been calling him collect. That's probably the reason, but, you know, things like that do happen.
You're telling him you're the bill collector.
Well, you know, it's like one way to get across to these people, and I've always tried to explain that, is you simply say, tell them the Internal Revenue Service is calling, and this is the number, and normally they will call back.
It's Orleans Town.
Yeah.
And change their name.
Or something like that.
Or just flat out go to another planet.
Okay, so you left, you were at KLO during what year, Shirley?
Oh, my. Early 70s.
Yeah. I remember you and I worked together back
then. Shirley, you came there in 1975.
Is that what it was?
Right.
Well, see, the memory is the first thing that goes.
Oh, you worked for the government for a while, so there's something that went right there.
Oh, I know. That was the first thing in my mind that went wrong.
How did you get involved with the EPA?
Well, they needed someone to write speeches in the administrator's office.
Okay, who did you write speeches for? Anybody infamous?
The administrator and the deputy administrator.
All right, did you ever lie in any of these speeches that you wrote?
Nah, nothing exciting.
Never lied?
No, just talked about our pristine environment.
How about the toxic waste dumps we have in Bullitt County? Is that something
you... No, we try not to talk about those.
Oh, you didn't talk about those.
No. There are some things you don't talk about.
Is there some bureaucratic lingo we should be aware of as consumers and regular patriots of the American populace that we should know, become aware of, just in case we hear them on TV or on the radio?
No. Actually not.
Actually not.
Some of these people don't know enough to do that.
Liar, pants on fire. And what is the most exciting thing you've covered?
Oh, gosh. Well, I did the convention.
Yeah?
I used to really enjoy all the derby stuff. I still get a pang for that every May.
Yeah? You love roaming around the infield, right? I could tell.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, you probably covered
me. I kind of like staying up in the press box eating sandwiches.
Yeah, you did Millionaire's Row.
Yeah, that was a nice installment.
Shout down into free food.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of folks...
Looked in the hot air balloons. And a lot of it was really fun. You know, it was a lot of stuff that I really never got to do again.
Yeah, a lot of the folks that are in Louisville don't really realize what kind of press comes to the Kentucky Derby every year.
Oh, everywhere. And I would... always be, when you get your press box assignment, generally it stays the same from year to year.
Right.
So you would begin to, you know, see these same people over and over again.
Right, and a lot of people don't really realize the extent that the folks at Churchill Downs really go out of their way to treat the press. They do a wonderful job.
They really do.
Yeah, I was at the Oaks this year and sitting next to Bobby Knight while he was screaming and yelling. And
I think the Oaks is my favorite.
I think the Oaks is, too, because it's a little more laid-back race, and you don't have all the hoopla, but it's still a big race.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, it's for the Phillies. So.
Yeah.
Let's have one for the Phillies.
Yeah, that's right. All right, now, wait a minute. Okay, now, Bob, what are you trying to tell me here? You still can't write where the...
That's about your next guest on here,
okay.
Rusty.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
All right, you tell... All right.
Who's
this
the
is
next
Carolyn
guest?
Davidson. From 1970 to 1973.
Finish with Shirley, and then we'll be over to Carolyn. See, that's how we do radio. We hand each other notes so we don't have to go, hey, Rusty, Carolyn Davidson's in here.
See, she's
working KLO, man, and she's going to be on the air with you right after Shirley gets off and everything.
As you understand, in popular radio and in places where you work, at a network,
they have
computers there, and they tell you what caller is next, right?
Well, sometimes. You'd be surprised.
No, I wouldn't work in television. I know. You can't tell me anything I don't know. Shirley, it's been great talking with you. Do you have okay, we have your home number. Are you going to be there?
Yeah.
Because we may call you back later on tonight. Can we do that?
Well, I work tonight.
You work tonight?
If you want, I can give you the number off air.
Okay, let me see. I'll get Bob to pick up the phone, and he can get your off-air phone number, and we'll try to get back with you a little bit later.
Okay.
It's been great talking with you.
Yeah, it's great. I'd love to know where everybody is.
Oh, Shirley, I've got your phone number here.
Okay.
That's how I got a hold of you earlier, and then you called us back.
You have a work number then, too, right?
Oh, no, not the work number. I'll get you off the air.
Okay.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Okay.
Alrighty.
All right, Bob's going to pick up, I think. Are you going to pick this up?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm turning you down, Shirley.
It's been nice talking to you, okay?
Wait a minute. Okay, now Bob's doing this.
Let's say it again.
What?
Shirley, been nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, Shirley.
Goodbye, guys.
Hold on, and I'll get you.
Hold on, Bob's going to talk with you.
This is a professional radio station.
Hey, man, it's been years since I've done this. I can't help it. And besides, she was telling me she worked for the government before. Forgive me, for goodness sakes. Carolyn Davidson, you and I never worked together. I'm sorry, but you were there here at KLO in 1970 to 1973.
Right.
You worked in continuity, public service.
Uh-huh.
You did voices. You did stuff with Mike Rivers then.
I sure did. Did the Shaft commercials and all kinds of neat stuff. And also did May for the Subway. Mm. Hello, this is May for the Subway. And a lot of other things like that.
Yeah, people, you have to excuse us, folks. This is like a zoo here today. It really is. Are your headsets okay?
Yeah, they're just fine. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Carolyn, when you were there, did you ever stay over, you know, late at night and hang around in the studio out front in the window?
There were strange, wonderful things that happened out there. There were also people that came like once every 2 years.
Yeah.
They would come, and they'd come just to stand in the lobby, look around, and then they'd leave.
Yeah.
And they'd just come back, like, once every 2 years. Of course, one other thing that mentioned was there were some wonderful establishments. You know, Cheers and all those wonderful things. But we had Kev's, and we had the Carnival Club.
That's right.
And let me tell you, Ernie Gudridge, who was a manager, did not like Christmas parties. He must have been thwarted at a Christmas party sometime.
Uh-huh.
And so by gosh and golly, we would run in shifts across the street.
That's right.
And flag Ernie in the hallway and hold him as Lee was playing pinball. Or Chuck or Bear Brady was playing pinball, and then they'd gulp a beer down, and then they run back across the street, and we all got really funny smiles on our faces by the end of the day, and Ernie never figured it out.
They continued to do that daily, I think.
And then the place burnt down mysteriously.
Yes, it's an amazing.
Incredible.
Probably some gray hairs next to some flammable substance there on the floor, you know?
I'd like to know where Ernie is. Does anybody...
Somebody told me that Ernie Gudridge is a salesman of some kind of real estate salesman up north. I don't know if that's true or not. But Ernie was quite a bureaucrat. I mean, the guy was...
Radio Free Europe for a while.
Yeah, he was with Radio Free Europe and, you know...
Radio Liberty, I think.
Liberty or whatever that was. And he was quite a character. And I've
another
got...
Another government official.
I do have one good Ernie Gudridge story that I can tell. And it's clean and it's wonderful. But one day in the studio, folks, we had this sound retardant, which was shag carpeting. Okay? It had been in there for years and years.
Looks good and smells good, too.
And, you know, you could probably, I guess, after all the people that had rubbed up against it and brushed into it, you could roll it up and smoke it. You know, I mean, it was probably pretty powerful stuff. But anyway... One day, this was WKLO, the building that we were in was a very old building in downtown Louisville, and there were so many cracks and holes in that place. No telling what was inside that, or is, and to this day, is in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the studio had a very low ceiling, and all the shag carpeting, and this one vent that came out of the roof and out of the ceiling. And one night I was in there, and this was back about 1974, 75 or something like that. And I had very long hair back then and looked every much just sort of like Mark Farner of Grand Funk Railroad. You know, I had this hair, just giant hair and real bushy and curly and thick and everything. And So anyway, I'm sitting there playing the hit, and we are playing records and a few tapes, some records on Super 45, you know, right, which made them last not very long. And so anyway, I'm in there, and it's late at night, and all of a sudden there is a bat in the studio.
I remember.
And the bat is like dive bombing my head, and I'm like thinking, man, if this bat ever gets in my hair, he's not going to get out, and I'm going to go crazy because he's going to bite me, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to go nuts. And so I was running in and out of the studio, changing the records, and hoping that the bat didn't jump on my back or jump in my hair and get lost forever. And so I wrote it up on the discrepancy report, you know. I said, you know, bat in studio, time, you know. You know, caused me great distress. It really, you know, bothered me a whole lot. And so I wrote up, and Ernie actually read those discrepancy reports all the time. I mean, he spent a lot of time reading the discrepancy report, and he'd always get a little note back saying, you know, how to take care of it in the future. And so on this particular day, I saw him in the hallway, and he walked up to me, and he said, Gary, he said, the next time you see a bat in the studio, all you have to do is get your tennis racket and go after the bat with your tennis racket. You see, Gary, a bat's radar will be confused by the webbing on the tennis racket, and that way you can kill him or swat him, and everything will be okay. And I'm like looking at him, you know, I'm going, okay, but Ernie, I didn't really have time to tell him that I didn't have my tennis racket with me or anywhere nearby, you know, and wasn't likely to bring it down to the studio. But honestly, he told me about this thing. So about a month later, it happened again.
And if I did have your tennis racket, right?
I did not have my tennis racket, but I'll tell you what, I should have listened to the man because he was right.
One of the stranger stories he told me at one point was, you know how all of us here in the Indiyucky area have a sinus condition. It's called Kentuckiana crud, and you get it a weekly or monthly or whatever. He said, you know, the Indians have a cure for that. I said, yeah? He said, yeah, they use a turban. You know, that's why they wear their turbans. And I said, yeah? He said, yeah, what they do is they undo the turban and they will insert one part of that turban inside one side of the nostril and cram it through their head and bring it back down through the other side of the nostril and clean their sinuses out completely. That's the honest to goodness truth. He told me that story.
You're telling Ernie Guttridge.
Ernie Guttridge.
Yeah, I got a couple of good honors.
Do you? Mike Orlander.
Mike Orlander, the general sales manager here at WDJX FM and AM and whatever, who's been in radio for like 21 years and stuff. And Mike can tell you stories. Mike, you talk here. My ears are hurting here.
Oh, I could tell you one Ernie story.
Tell us an Ernie story.
Ernie used to.
Ernie's time, boys and girls.
I'm going to hit on Ernie for a while. Well, Ernie, if you're listening, we love you, man.
Ugly animal. Up in, Fort Myers? He's selling real estate down there now.
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, one of the things Ernie used to tell all the salesmen every day, he would only come into a sales meeting about once every couple of weeks. And what he would do is he'd come in and he'd say, let me tell you how you guys can be fired up in the morning and get a change of pace each day. And we'd say, well, how's that? He'd go, every day that you're coming to work, you should change the route that you go to work at. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, what's that? How can that make you fired up? He says, well, you know, like I live over in Audubon Park. And he says, I come out in the morning, you know, and I'll get on 65 and I'll go, you know, through Crittenden Drive and I'll go to work that way one day. And the next day I'll go down Shelby Street and go through, you know, Brook Street and everything like this. And he said, you know, that change of pace each day is very important for sales mental ability. And, you know, next thing you know, man, I'm driving to Indiana. I'm going halfway around the world to get to work.
And this is something you do tell your staff here at WDJX to motivate them.
One of the things we do, seriously, we tell everybody to fill up the night before. Go get your $13 worth of gas. Try to get to work in the morning.
That's incredible. That's just incredible.
That's a true story. And Ernie used to have some great analogies and things like that that he would come up with.
The one thing that I never, ever figured out that we did back then was we did two things. One is he ordered a bunch of pencils that had erasers on both ends. All right? And a whole bunch of them. And he did another thing that we ran in the morning called the Mumble Report. All right, and this was an Ernie Guttridge innovation. I mean, this was a man who came on, and it was like a bureaucratic type of program, and all he said was, and that's the truth. I mean, you know, and I'm like going, now wait, are we supposed to sell this? Are we supposed to insert spot here? I mean, you know, what is this? And to this day, I mean, you know, I have thought about this late at night and trying to figure it out, but I still don't know. And
you know, Ernie was just,
it was,
you know,
it was like something else.
It was different.
Does anybody remember the great floods we had at the other building?
Oh, yeah, every time it would rain and the sewer would back up into the basement area.
In the back, yeah.
The worst day was when the ceiling loaded up with water. I think there's a gentleman out in the hall, Alan Bryan, who remembers this very well. We actually had to make a dike to keep it from going into the studio because the water was a foot deep up in my office, which was the front office next to reception area. So that was wonderful stuff.
I have one thing to say about the old building. And that was the ladies. They had a dance studio
on the third floor.
We
loved it, didn't we?
And, you know, here we are sitting out there in the front. Yeah, it was the Courtney School of Dance, and those very beautiful ladies that would go up there, and they're all in their Capizio dance outfits. And you know, we're just a bunch of lonely guys anyway. And but you know, there were people that it was rather strange because we'd sit there and see these people for months, days, years, and everything. And I remember some people in particular I would just, you know, smile and wave to, and it was like I never existed, you know? These people never acknowledged my existence, and it really used to just drive me absolutely out of my mind. And the epilogue to the story is years later, I'm in my office out at Baptist East Hospital, and one of the movers and shakers in that little organization shows up in my office for some dental care. So we really had a lot of fun talking about the good old days, and they had quite a few stories to tell. You know, they were upstairs above us, listening to all the stuff that went down, you know, at our place. So he had some interesting stories to tell me about the radio station, which I really can't repeat right here now because I guess this is still a family program, right?
Correct.
But anyhow.
You know what's interesting about the three of us that happen to be right in here right now is here's the continuity director, here's the production director, and I was in sales at the time. She used to write about 30 or 40 commercials a day. Uh-huh. And today, you know, everybody picks up dubs at another station or you do one here. It's totally different, or an advertising agency provides you with the tape. Back then, copywriter, I mean, that was a big job in the radio station.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how different. You know, we were thinking just a few minutes ago talking about merchandising. You know, today advertisers that buy time on any of the radio stations, one of the things they want is they want a free promotion, or they want, you know, to give away this or give away that. Back then, our number one merchandising, there were two things that we did to merchandise the radio station. Number one, we had a showcase window.
Yes. Oh, that was awful, especially when the bug spray was in it.
Third and Walnut, and Horace used to have anything in that window. It didn't matter. It was always something in there, and he used to tell everybody that 52,000 people walk by this window every day. That was one of them. And the other thing was you give
them a bit over 49,000, and you know it.
And the other merchandising tool we had, which was a biggie, was the back of the hit sheet. The top,
that's right.
You know, 20. You'd put the advertiser's name on the back. That was it. I mean, all of the free stuff and the giveaways and everything.
We're talking about Horace Ross, the world's greatest radio time salesman.
He's the only radio time salesman that I know of that had his picture on a spectacular on a billboard out on 65, and that's a true story.
And wow. If anybody remembers that was really incredible. Here's Horace Roth. I guess he was, what, 82 years old or 88. Horace, you're timeless, you're beautiful, we love you.
Yes,
well,
we do.
You know how that all happened, Gary? Do you remember?
Exactly.
There was a guy that was doing the mornings named Jack Hood.
And Jack Hood is good.
Jack Hood is great. Jack Hood is gone. And when Jack Hood was gone, there was a billboard contract and it had to be used, and somebody had to go up on that billboard. Something, the station had no money at the time, so therefore what'd they do? They put Horace's picture up there on the billboard.
And it was absolutely great to be driving down the expressway and see a 80-foot horse smiling and waving, you know?
Thank you. He used to get mad at the sales department every day because we'd tell him that we saw him sitting in front of the billboard.
We have an important person who is here, and we got to get him on the radio and make a couple of announcements. I do have one Horace Roth story I'll share, but I'll wait till later, so let's go ahead and get this stuff out of the way. Go ahead and do it.